There's this Bill Gates quote that's like, you can only connect the dots going backwards.
Flowers, drivers, and the Paris styles.
Hey everyone, I'm Kara Lee.
I'm Daniel.
And this is the Actor Hack Podcast.
Coming to you from Brooklyn, New York.
And today we have Allie with us. Hey Allie.
Hi Allie.
Hey guys.
Tell us where you went to school.
Sure. I went to the University of Michigan. I was in their BFA acting program. When I was a senior in high school, though, I thought all I wanted to do was musical theater, right? Mm-hmm. And all of us, you know, big fish, small pond in high school. So it's like, well, I'll get into either Michigan or NYU. You know, waitlisted and then didn't get in. So I knew I loved Michigan anyway. So I said, all right, well, I'll start school there as an English major and I'll transfer into an acting program. If not here, then somewhere else. And so I auditioned all over the country and got into a couple of programs, but ended up getting in at Michigan to the straight theater program, which at that point I became more interested in anyway.
Did you come right to New York?
I did. It wasn't really a decision. Like, my family is on Long Island. My high school friends all moved back. A lot of my college friends were actors and were moving here. And so it was sort of a no-brainer.
And did you immediately start auditioning?
Immediately. I was living with my parents, so I was waitressing, but I didn't have the pressure of, like, I need to waitress constantly. So I did. I started auditioning right away.
And how was that going when you first started?
It went well. I mean, I was working the non-ec NYC circuit and meeting a lot of people, doing a lot of student films. I interned at Telsey. Then I booked a summer stock gig at the Millbrook Playhouse, which is this great non-ec theater in Pennsylvania, and ended up spending a couple of summers there where I really kind of built a great theater community. And in between was just doing a bunch of projects in New York that, again, were like a little under the radar.
You had a time where you didn't want to pursue anymore.
I think that for me, acting was never something I had to work at it, in that I had to work at my craft. You know, for a long time, it was just something I was really lucky in. Like, I was lucky in high school, and then, you know, I had a slight setback, but still did shows my whole freshman year in college, and then was in this program and got cast a lot in the main stages, and that was great. And then I graduated and was working a lot, and I felt very lucky. And then the normal thing happens to everyone, where it was like, okay, but how come I'm not getting, like, those auditions? And, oh, like, you know, Peggy Sue is, you know, just got her Equity card, and I, you know.
Damn that Peggy Sue.
Damn that imaginary Peggy Sue. I had to, for the first time, ask myself the question of, like, wait, am I cut out for the realities of this industry, right? Because there's a really big difference between loving the art of it and being able to function as a healthy human being in the business
of
it.
Yeah.
This really weird thing happened where I was doing a play that was probably one of my favorite plays I've ever done, and I would rehearse during the day, and then I would go home that night, and I started researching grad school programs that had nothing to do with acting. And I was like, this is so weird, because I should be really in the thick of my acting self right now. But I wasn't. I was really nervous that I didn't know what my next job was going to be, and I was really dreading getting back into town and going on more auditions. I felt like I let myself see a choice there that I hadn't let myself see before. I got back to New York and I went on a couple of auditions, and then I was working a temp job, and one of the women I was working for was kind of like, hey, are you looking for full-time work? A voice from within me was like, yes.
Yes.
And she was like, cool, you should call my friend. She's hiring entry-level events industry. And I interviewed, and I went in as if I were going to an acting audition. Like, I wore, like, really tight pants. Like, it was a corporate job. It was, like, ridiculous. Fake eyelashes. Like, I was like, hello, I'm Allie. I'm here for the, it was ridiculous. She offered me the job, and it was the kind of thing that I really didn't process what was happening. It was kind of like, oh, here's this piece of paper that says, like, you're going to have this salary, and you're going to have these benefits. And it wasn't even something I was interested in, necessarily. Like, I was thinking of grad school for something I cared about. But it was, they wanted me, and it was stable. And at that time in my life, I really, really needed that. You know, we've got loans and all sorts of things that we're all thinking about all the time, right?
Yeah.
So I took the job. For the first few months in the job, I really just was so confused. I loved having a place to go every day. I enjoyed the content of the job even. But I was like, who am I? My identity since I was 3 years old has been, oh, I'm an actress, right?
Yeah.
And and how do you separate that? And then it was like, well, I can do both. And I did a couple of plays while I was working there, and I sing in cabaret shows, and I kept the dream alive, but not wholeheartedly, not in the way that if you're pursuing acting, you pursue acting. It was strange because I felt other things in my life starting to come together. You know, I met the man who's now my husband and was able to like be in an adult, faithful, committed relationship for the first time in my life. I felt really self-sufficient. I was self-sufficient. At the same time, I felt like I was betraying this other version of myself who I was so, like, engulfed in for so long. I did, you know, eventually leave that job and say, okay, now's the time for grad school. And it was psychology that I was thinking of going to grad school for. And then I kind of got pulled back into acting a little bit. And I was like, but I really miss it. No, this is what I want to do. I don't know how I ever left. Here we go, you know. And I started auditioning a bit again and did a little show. And then it started happening again. That it was like, no, this isn't, can't, like, live this lifestyle right now. I was working at my old high school, and they brought me in to work with the kids on a couple of musicals, just mostly choreography and some assistant directing. And I liked working with the kids. It was fun being back in that environment. Instead of the psychology pursuit, which I had taken all the prereqs for and was kind of lined up to begin, I was like, you know what? Like, what do I teach, right? And then I'm working with kids, which I like, and I can still have theater in my life. And I started a grad program. I applied around. I got into Columbia. It was like so shiny. I was like, oh my gosh, Columbia, here I come, right? And oh my god, I hated it. Yeah. This was January of 2015. I started the program, and I was so depressed, and I just, it didn't make sense to me, because on paper it should have been a really good call. And this is such an embarrassing thing to say, but I'm gonna say it, and I'm not gonna tell you not to air it. I was like jealous of the kids. I wasn't like, yes, I'm so glad you created that moment. I was like, fucking amateur. Like, do you know what I would get to, like, know I for sure had a role in the upcoming show? Like, that moment was bullshit. Like, I was so jealous. And, it, you know, or they would be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to, you know, I'll be on Broadway by the time I'm 25. And I wanted to, like, you know, in Billy Madison when he takes the fat kid and, like, shakes him. Like, that's what I wanted to do to all of them.
So you stopped yourself from crushing a dream.
Yes, somehow.
Fuck you. No, you're not. You're not on Broadway.
You don't know shit. Like, are you kidding me? And, like, I was you. Like, I know it's really easy. And you know what? If you're good, it's going to be easy for a little while longer. You know what I mean? But so it was like I had never taught. I had used the term taught loosely at this high school.
Now
these were middle schoolers that I was student teaching.
Okay.
Because the degree was 7 to 12.
Oh, I understand. Okay, I understand.
So, sorry if I wasn't clear about that.
No,
okay. So, I was taking these classes on education, and that's interesting to me, and I care about education. Like, I support the fight. It didn't feel right. And now I'm like, well, great, all that money later in for the semester, I'm back in this place of like, well, I'm going to go back to acting. You know?
Well, so what was the breaking point?
It was in a class I was taking called Teaching of Writing. We had done these assignments. The whole course was about how to teach writing, right? But then at the end, we were kind of the students, and we got to, like, make these creative projects. Grad school's ridiculous. Like, I remember I, like, brought in my project, and I was really excited to share it. Everyone else kind of presented theirs through the lens of, like, and this is how I would teach it, and this is what I want to bring out in my students. And it was just this, like, fire that I knew I lacked. And I just was like, I feel like a phony in here. Like, I came for the right reasons, but they're not, like, manifesting into real circumstances. I was like, I'm a fucking actor. I was like, I can't wait to read my piece out loud. Like, everyone who read theirs, I'm like, oh my god, mine's better. I can't wait. And none of them were competing with me. They were all like, yeah, it was fun to do this project, and when my kids do it, I think I'm gonna make sure to scaffold the less that. And I was just like, oh, this is not my world, you know? And then you're kind of like, this isn't working. And so you're back to that, like...
And it feels like a failure a little bit.
It was a 1-year intensive. Okay. So I'm halfway done with it. I have 5 years in case I, at some point in the next 5 years, decide to finish. Okay. If in 4.5 years, I'm like, you know what? I should finish that degree. I can. But, you know, and I was like, I'll transfer to a SUNY school to finish it because it'll be cheaper. And then I won't have wasted, but nobody takes transfer credits. So it just feels like wasted time and money.
I was going to say, like, not to be like all like Mary Sunshine about it, but you so clearly saw that that's not what you want to do. Now you've eliminated those moments of, well, what if that's what I was supposed to do?
It's true. I'm now finally doing what I started researching in that play in 2011, which is looking into psych programs, because I really love people. That's part of what I loved about acting, and like I love theater because I love talking about people and feelings, and it sits right with me the way nothing else has. And in my admissions essays that I'm writing now, just like I did a year ago, I say that same thing. I'm like, the teaching stint not only taught me what I don't want, but it also like helped me realize like what I do want, you know, because I did have those moments with these eighth graders who I was like quite impatient with, where, you know, in between classes or like after hours or when I was working in the high school and they're talking to me about issues or, you know, and those were moments I cherished, you know, those were moments of connection and not lesson plans or trying to foster and inspire creativity in others, which is honestly just not my calling.
I mean, I think there's so much crossover with psychology and acting. I mean, it just makes so much sense to me because so much of being an actor is diving into psychology.
But it's this thing that I feel like people keep wanting to define me. My parents' friends, or my friends, you know, my friends who aren't actors who like still don't understand how.
Well, in the same way that you like, you identified as an actress for so long, like other people categorize you as an actress for so long. Yeah. It's like, okay, well, she's not doing that anymore.
And you know what's fucked up about that too? Mm-hmm. Is the people who are like that, I need them to look me in the eye and be like, you have it in you. You should do it. Get like back out there yourself? And do it.
You don't get
it. Yeah. You know what? Like, this isn't about me being a quitter. This is about me having an honest conversation with me and saying,
this is not, you misunderstand this situation.
Yes, precisely. You know, and I probably care too much about what people think, but it's really like, that's been the hardest part for me is when I see people and they're like, what show are you working on? And it's like, well, the truth is I'm taking a playwriting class, my second one, and I have been writing more, and that's something that I fucking love, because I'm like, oh, I can tell stories, and I don't have to wait for somebody to cast me in a role to maybe not even tell the part of the story that I'm the most excited about, right?
Yeah.
So, where are you taking class?
At the Barrow Group. And that has been, like, more fulfilling for me than a lot of the, you know, little shows or...
Well, you sort of, like, gave yourself license to think outside the box and do other things. Pursuing acting takes so much time and energy. It's like you didn't allow yourself time to do other things.
Yeah, including, like, process whether it was actually what I wanted to pursue. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And yes, I am on the psych track now. And, you know, of course, it's always in the back of my head that, like, this is the kind of career that ultimately you could make your own schedule and say, well, I'm not giving up my art. I'm just creating a life for myself where my art can coexist with other things that give me what I need.
How long are these programs?
So I'm doing the Master's in Mental Health Counseling. You kind of come out with what you need to practice, which is, yeah, amazing. And then if you ever want to do a doctorate beyond that. My parents are doctors, so I think I have like a complex about like when do I become a real person? Like great master schmasters, which is ridiculous, but it's a 2-year program. And then there are probably some hours in a hospital I'd have to work after that. Not necessarily a hospital, but in a mental health improvement clinic. Yeah.
And are you going to stay in New York to do this?
Yeah. My husband's in a family business that's based in Queens. So projects out of town are okay, but like I don't think I can ever really live anywhere else because I like him.
You know? And he's supportive?
He's like a saint because it's not even just about being, weirdly enough, met him the week that I got that job offer.
I was going to ask, when in this trajectory did you meet him? So yeah, that's insane.
It was like I got back from doing a show. I like met Adam and was temping at this job and they were like, hey, do you want to come in for an interview? And so I met him and like my dating profile was like, I'm an actress. Mm-hmm. And then I met him and he was like, well, yeah, I mean, it sounds like a cool job. Like you're an actress, they're ready to hire you. And I was like, well, yeah, but I haven't been happy doing it and I want to try this. And so I actually struggled with that too, I think, the first year of our relationship, because I was like, but you don't know me. Right. You know me, but you don't know the me that I like, that I, you know, the exciting me, the me that sounds it. You know what I mean? And he was kind of like, I think I actually know you. Like, I think I know the you that I want to know. Like, exactly. Yeah. Not the identity that, or the,
like how you want to be seen versus like who you are and how you are, right? Mm-hmm. I had a lot of boyfriends before him, and I think that was like the difference. Not even that I wasn't acting necessarily, because he's since seen me in a bunch of projects, but that, like, when we built our relationship, it wasn't about, and tonight's about me, and, like, my audition and my callback, and oh my god, my callback, my audition is that, you know, and so there was a really, like, solid foundation there that was very, like, true to, honestly, me at my worst, even, because that year was weird as hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He always says to me, he's always like, if you want to go back to acting full time, like, we'll make it work, you know, it's not, you know, two incomes is nice, but we'll make it work. He also, when I was like, I'm going to teach, he was kind of like, I thought you were interested in psych if you were going to do grad school. And I'm like, you don't know me!
Like, don't tell me what to do.
Yeah. Like, I got into Columbia, okay? Like, this is Beshert, which is Yiddish for meant to be. And he was like, I'm not saying you wouldn't be a good teacher. He's like, just doesn't feel quite. And I was kind of like, well, you know what? I have to do something. And then, God bless him, when I was like, oh my God, what have I done? He didn't say a fucking word. Mm-hmm. Like, there was no I told you so. The weekend of my 30th birthday, we went out for breakfast. And, like, I was just crying. And I was like, I'm turning 30. And I really just, like, felt like a loser. I was like, I finally thought, like, okay, and then this is a track that I can be proud of that's still affiliated with who I always, like, thought I was. And then it just, like, came crashing down. And, you know, he's supportive in whatever I want, and he's also, like, he's like, it doesn't mean you have to peak already. You're going to have an awesome career in maybe a few things. He reminds me that, like, I have.
Like, just because you haven't been on Broadway doesn't mean you weren't successful.
Yeah.
In what you were attempting to do.
And then I kind of, like, trace back the steps that led me here, and I'm like, it's okay that it's not, that it doesn't make sense yet, and it doesn't make me a failure or a loser, right? It's just, it's that, like, mourning, too, of whoever, whatever you thought your life was going to look like.
When you refer to the unhealthy lifestyle of an actor, could you go into that a little bit more? Just, like, what was making you unhappy or what you were doing that wasn't positive for you?
I think that part of what jaded me was, I was a reader at a couple of casting agencies. And so, first of all, you know, you're in the room and the people coming in are all have these audition opportunities that, like, you don't quite have, right? And you're reading the other person in the scene. You're kind of supposed to stay relatively neutral in your choices, so, or play off of their choices. So it's not like you have an opportunity to show the people at the table, like, who you really are, what you have to offer. Like, the nature of it isn't as amazing of an opportunity as it maybe seems to some greener actors. But I think being in the room and realizing that, like, people would come in who were amazing and who would really just, like, do, you know, you'd see them do a scene and they're crying and you know they really worked on it, or they sing a song they're terribly connected to, you know, or they left their cell phone in a cab and you could tell that they have this, like, crazy day, but they're here for you to, like, give you this part of themselves that is so precious. Like, mm-hmm. Our craft is so precious to us. And then for them to leave the room and people to be like, you know?
Yeah.
Is so devastating. To even, like, see them leave the room with a bounce in their step. Like, they think they just fucking mm-hmm. nailed it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it's just like, well, shit, like, they're better than me. Or, like, I couldn't have sang it like that. Or I wouldn't have made that incredibly interesting choice, you know? And even if I could have, like, it wouldn't have necessarily meant much. And I think that really, to me, it started to feel unhealthy to go on audition after audition and really give myself to people.
Yeah.
It started to feel like this really abusive relationship where, you know, I would do my hair and makeup and, like, be on the subway for 45 minutes or whatever and get there early, and you try to be sweet to whoever has the sign-in sheet because you don't know, because you're a nice person, but also because you don't know, like, how they can help you down the line. And then you go in and you're like, okay, well, how can I, like, show them that they want to work with me from the first second, like, but I don't want to come on too strong, and I also want them to think that, like, I'm right for the role, so I don't want to be, like, you know, really friendly if the role's, like, not that, you know what I mean?
Totally.
And so it's, like, all of these things, and then you finally do your piece, and you, like, give them that really precious part of yourself, and then it's over, and even if they are kind, which a lot of auditioners are, even if it's, like, a thank you for that, if you don't book it, it feels
personal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, from their end, I feel like a lot of casting people, there are a lot of actors, and they see a lot of auditions, so they could have, this person could have walked into the room. They're immediately like, okay, well, they're not at least 6 foot, so it doesn't really matter what this person does. So they're tuned out into whatever their day is doing. I feel like if there were 10 actors, they could give their full attention and support to each one. But for them, you know, it's their job, and it's like, you're not worth me investing in you, so I'm just going to check out. I do think that there are times where casting directors are disrespectful and could be more attentive. Going back to what you were saying about being a reader, it's such an interesting position because being in the room, I feel like you learn so much. But then if you're trying to move forward as an actor, a lot of times if you're a reader for a casting director, I feel like that casting director, oh, they read for us. Like, it doesn't necessarily get you in the audition room.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just how I perceive it.
I think it was that. And then, or it would be like, oh, she's the best reader. Like, when they'd see me, you know what I mean? And it's like, thanks. But, like, I didn't major in reading. Like, right. You know? The thing is, it's also strange because some days I'll, you know, work a long shift at an audition and I'll come home feeling really great because I feel like I got to be creative all day. Like, I got to connect with people, right? There's the psychology thing. Yeah, but, like, really just, like, make moments with people all day and really listen and respond. And, like, that's a gift. I don't know. And, you know, I say this and then I know I'm going to audition within the next few months and somehow muster the... And God bless the people who can do it every day. Mm-hmm. I really mean that. Like, I wish I could. I wish it didn't affect me. I wish I was the kind of person who could just, like, give kick-ass auditions and always be like, all right, well, they made another choice. That's fine. It's not my, this isn't my project. Something else is. And that's true. And I do get work.
It's important to know or realize that about yourself, about whether you're the type of person that can continue to be rejected 70 times and only get the job a couple of times, because that's how it works.
I'm not done acting. Like, I'm always going to act. And, you know, look, if a great project comes along, like, awesome. But I am done, like, full-time, not doing anything else, like, pounding the motherfucking pavement. Because it's not for me. And you know what's weird is that now that I'm writing, I, like, understand more from a casting perspective why that has to be the attitude. Like, I wrote a specific character, and if this guy comes in for it, he could be great. But if he's all wrong for it, if he doesn't have that, if I don't believe that he could have, like, you know, whatever, strangled a cat. Oh my God, I would never write that, but you know what I mean? Like, then it's not right. Like, then it's not gonna work. So it's this weird hypocritical feeling then, because you're like, okay, but if I want to tell this story, like, I need the right people in the roles. So I don't know, maybe that'll help me.
Could you just explain for people who don't even know what that is, what that is?
Totally. Being a reader means that you sit in the room with the creative team, usually. So that's the casting director, sometimes the director of the project, the playwright, you know, sometimes choreographer, a musical director, if it's a musical, whatever. And so actors are lined up. Actors have appointments to come in. And the scenes that they're reading have more than one. They're not doing monologues. They're reading scenes, right? So somebody has to read with them. So a reader sits in the room with the script and the actors come in and, you know, the casting director will say, okay, like, this is Allie. She's going to be reading with you. And when it's time to do the scene, we act together in the scene.
How did you start doing that?
I started at a place where I'd interned. I was just kind of an eager beaver about it. Actually, no, I think a reader didn't show up one day. And so I was like, I can do it. I remember I was wearing, like, really ugly shoes. What were those shoes that were with the holes in them? Not clogs. They were, like, clogs.
Oh, Crocs.
Crocs. I didn't even, like, have Crocs, but it was raining that day, and it was, like, weird weather, so I bought them at CVS. Like, I always looked pretty cool at that job, but that one day I was in Crocs, and I remember I went in to read, and the, like, head casting director, like, looked me, so you guys can't see me, but, like, looked me up and down. Like, he was horrified that the reader looked like this. You know, I guess I did a good job, and so they started calling me in for that, and then I kind of worked at a couple of other casting agencies as a reader also from there.
Being a reader, what were some of the main things that you took away from that?
Great question. It's not about you. That's the most important thing to know. And, like, we're actors, and a lot of the time we feel it is about us,
And, like, it's so not. And the fastest way to not get asked to come back and be a reader again is to make it about yourself. They will tell you if you're making wrong choices or doing something that's, like, hard for the actors to respond to. Just assume that what you're doing is working unless you're told otherwise, except if there are words you don't know how to pronounce, right? Because they'll send you the sides in advance. Mm-hmm. So if there's the name of a city or...
like a disease.
Like anything that's, like, a little funky or even a big word that you're not, like, totally sure about, I would look it up first, because usually you can find, and you really just want to ask them as few questions as possible. Like, you're not important in that room. You're important in the sense that you help them to see how the person connect, but it's not about you. I can't say that enough. I think I had the same thing with students that, like, I don't care about, like, giving the actors a great audition. Like, I'm like, all right, like good for you and your agent and your opportunities. But it is really fulfilling if you connect with them and really listen and play off of each other. That makes it it makes you feel like you got to act all day, because you did, right? What else is acting besides mm-hmm. listening and reacting?
And then, just as an actor, being a reader, what did you observe from the people coming into audition? I mean, did anything change your perspective on your auditions?
Yeah. You don't have to be cute when you come in. And I don't mean, like, look cute. You should always try your best to look nice at audition, unless, you know, you're auditioning for, like, an ugly homeless person. But I used to think I had to charm casting directors. You know, like, you would walk in and be like, hello, how's everybody, right? Or don't shake their hands. Like, please don't try to shake their hands.
Oh, God, that's the worst.
It is the fucking
worst. Oh, God, do people do that?
Yes. Especially, like, Southerners. No offense, Carolee. But, like, so many people who just, like, moved to New York from the South are like, I'm going to show you who I am, and I'm not like the other New Yorkers, because I'm a gentleman, and I'm going to... It's mostly men, so that's me.
I'm going to be one step ahead of the game, and I'm going to shake their hands.
It is so backwards.
Everyone hates you.
Everybody, you don't have a fucking shot. Just leave. Like, just do good work. I think that's what I learned. It doesn't matter if you come in and are funny, or, you know what I mean? Like, just do good work. Like, as long as you're not an asshole, they're going to be happy to work with you.
Right.
Yeah. They just want to see what you can bring to the table. So it definitely helped me in that respect. Also, always hold the paper. It's a simple thing that they tell you in acting class, like, when you're there for, maybe if it's a callback, you want to be off book, but if you have sides for an audition, holding it reminds them that this is an audition. If you don't hold it, I think it's sometimes hard for a director or casting director to see you as a malleable actor. Like, it's hard for them to be like, okay, I'm going to try and, like, get them to do that differently, because it doesn't feel like a work in progress. It feels like a product.
I have to say, from seeing auditions, it's very silly, because that's a really smart sounding reason. And the reason that I would always have is I'm like, okay, they're going to forget their lines. Like, it made me anxious of, like, okay, just have the paper in your hand. Mm-hmm. Like, don't be a hero right now.
You never know what's going to happen in the room, and you might lose your place. And...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people do that, and then they'll be like, sorry, can I get the sides? And it's like, well, yeah, sure, but, like, you shouldn't have been good.
From the beginning.
Yeah.
Your plan now, if you're applying for schools to start...
in September, and this is, like, so fucked up, but I was about to be like, unless some sort of other opportunity comes along, and then I would put off school, right? But it's that thing.
That's not fucked up.
It's that thing that you keep getting... I guess it's not. I guess it's just a realistic thing about the business, that if I decide to go on auditions and...
Are you doing that now, or are you doing an auditioning now, or no?
No, right now, well, I work from home for a consulting firm and events, which is good for me right now. And I think I did sign up at one-on-one for some classes, and I have an acting class at HB Studios that will start in March, and I'm in my playwriting class, but I'm not on playbill.com looking for auditions. I probably will be.
It's gotta be a freeing thing, though, where you are right now, where you're just like, I'm learning. I'm taking classes. This isn't...
I think I needed these past few years to be the best kind of artist. When you're moving too fast and you're getting, like, a lot of opportunities, there's not, like, room for growth. It's like this train, and you just want to keep, well, what's my next job going to be? And is it going to be better? And when am I going to get my equity card? And when am I going to get, like, the best agent? And when is it, you know? But when your body and mind are like, you need to take a fucking break... And then you do, and then you miss it. And then it's like, well, what do I miss about it? And then you go back to it a little bit, and you're like, okay, well, what did I love about that? Okay, now what do I still miss? And how do I... Okay, and now, well, it kind of... I think I'm going to realize at some point in the next few years that it made me more whole, whatever this break is, as a human being, which will
which will help me as an actor. And I never thought that. Like, I really didn't. And I had heard people say it. Like, I'd heard people be like, the best actors are humans. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. The best actors are the ones who pound the pavement and get it done. You know what I mean? Like, really, I really, like,
right.
was a little
I don't have time to talk about this right now.
Yeah, I have a networking event.
And so when you're going to audition, I mean, you get to be a lot more selective about what you're going to go do, and you get to say no to things without having to worry about having to do them.
You know, say mm-hmm. you do this program, say you have patience and all this sort of stuff. What would be your dream scenario?
Thank you for asking. Dream scenario. Okay, so I think, you know, I will need to work in some kind of clinic, not just for licensing, but for a few years after to develop, you know, skills and patience or whatever. But I think end game, it would be really nice to have a private practice, totally, like, schedule my own patients and do maybe, like, two plays a year that were important to me or that felt in line with, like, my view of the world, with respectful people who are real human beings, and continue writing and see where that takes me. I think that would be a really fucking delicious.
So fulfilling right. projects, not just.
I think my resume is really, like, full of for the sake of doing it stuff. If people need to see that to get me in the door, like, I think it's there. And luckily we're in New York where there are enough, like, obscure sounding projects that nobody knows when it happened, right? So, like, I've done enough work that I feel like I have a foundation to, like, get me in the door for some things. And then I believe in the universe, and I believe in, like, being real with yourself and then putting yourself out there, and then it will come back.
So we've come to that time for us to give our hacks.
So my recommendation for the week is another podcast called The Memory Palace, which is a very short narrative piece about a moment in history, a person or an event that he puts out. And they're beautifully written. They are so well produced. They are so beautifully performed. It's really good.
There's a practice that's a part of the Artist's Way, and it's doing morning pages, which is basically when you wake up, before you have time to organize your thoughts, you just write 3 pages of just whatever in your brain. It can be, you know, it could be whatever you dreamed about. It can be just, like, initial thoughts. But it's a really good way to start your day. And I've done that before. I don't keep up with it. But whenever I was doing it, it really was nice. So reinforcing how important and fulfilling writing can be.
Did it help with your writing?
It helped with my writing, but it more helped with just, like, my sanity. Yeah. Just, yeah.
It's a nice little purge at the beginning of the day.
Yeah, mm-hmm. just helping me not hold on to things for the whole day and not even realizing that I was holding on to them.
So my hack is going to be a little piece of advice. Because as much as there were a couple of moments throughout our interview that I was like, yeah, and that made me feel like a loser, and that made me feel like a failure, and as much as I have those moments, like, often, I think I do know deep down that this is an empowering journey, and it being unconventional is going to make it all the more enriching. My message is that give yourself permission to change your dreams. And understand the difference between doing that and giving up on your dreams. And appreciate that ability, the ability that you have to do that, right? Like, to say, it doesn't matter how long I had this dream or what this dream meant to me. It matters, like, how it feels in my life mm-hmm. right now. And I'm going to change, and I'm going to change it with me. And that's okay.
The dream you had when you were 21 years old is not the same dream that you're going to have when you're 25 years old and
30.
And that's okay. And you have to reevaluate those things. You have to take a break and take a step back.
And the people who are like, but you can do it, just be like, bitch, right. You don't know me.
Right.
Cool. Well, Allie, thank you so much for sitting down with us.
You guys are the best. Such a treat. Thank you for having me.
Go subscribe to us on iTunes and write us a review. And also email us at actorhackpodcast@gmail.com for suggestions, comments, questions, concerns.
And you should like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram.
Thank you all for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to All That Glitters by Sweet Soubrette off the album Days and Nights.
If anything, my mother will listen to it.